إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session, reading from Manhaj Yawmi fi Talib al-Ilm, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and the commentary by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, our topic is the third area that the Imam has outlined in what he has, or what has been called here, the Manhaj Yawmi, the Talib al-Ilm, the third area. But before we look at that area, I want to review quickly some of the points that we covered last week from the question and study guide number 4. The first question being, explain the first advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Rasulullah. The first advice mentioned by the author under one's manhaj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam ya Musa. طيب أحسنت جيد. Somebody translate for us. Not, when I say translate, I don't mean look in the book and read their translation. Tell us what's the meaning from what we heard. yeah, Ibrahim, you give us a shot.
Yeah, put his love before the love of every person.
Naam, to put his love, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, above, ahead of the love of every other created being. Naam. And also his guidance and his sunnah should be above and ahead of every other guidance and every other sunnah. The guidance of anyone and the sunnah of anyone. This is a very important point that the Shaykh, the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has given here, that requires not just a theoretical understanding but a practical application. Really placing the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahead of the love of anyone else. That is really critically important, as we said last week. As Al-Imam Ibn Rajab said, that it is from the usul of Iman. It's from the usul of Iman, from the foundations, the fundamentals of Iman, to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else. Now, second question, memorize a hadith which proves the necessity of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than any other human being. Naam, ya Abdul Haq.
Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ.
طيب أحسنت. Somebody translate for us this hadith, famous hadith. What is the meaning of this hadith? Not reading from the book, but from your own mind, what you know, what you understand, what you remember. Yahya.
He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that by the one whose my soul is in his hand.
Naam. By the one whose my soul is in his hand. Uh-huh.
None of you believe until you
hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi.
Until you have love for for him more than your fathers, the children, and the general people.
And the general people. Now, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he swore by Allah, the one in whose hand is his soul, his life. He said, you will not believe, yani you will not have complete and perfect iman until I am more beloved to you than your parents and your children and the whole of mankind. Nas ajma'in. Naam, mashallah. So this is, this is a task that is in front of us that we have to strive towards, really having love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than our own parents. Even more than our own parents, more than our mother and our father. And the proof of loving the Prophet ﷺ more than any other human being is giving precedence to that which yani he has called us to, over what anybody else calls us to. Even if it is our mother, our father, or the whole of humanity. The king, the emir, our sheikh, or whoever. Obedience to that which the Prophet ﷺ brought is an amara, yani an indication, a sign of love of him, true love of him, that is obedient to that which he brought to us. Now, and this is a struggle for sure. In our lives, sometime, from time to time, we are confronted with a conflict between that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exemplified for us, and what we find in the societies that we live in. Our family, our friends, our employment, our school, whatever it might be. There's conflict. This is a struggle. It's a real struggle. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Naam. Question number 3. Discuss the discourse between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Umar radiallahu anhu, which further supports this point. Naam, ya Ibrahim. إلا نفسي. يعني إذا Umar said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after hearing this hadith, that you are more beloved to me than everyone, everything except my own self. Now. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, when the Prophet swore by Allah, not yet, until I am more beloved to you even than your own self. That's what's required. Now, he said, now, by Allah, by now, after coming to know this, to have this knowledge, Now indeed you are more beloved to me even than my own self. And the Prophet ﷺ replied, Al-An, Ya Umar. Now your iman has become complete now, mashallah. And this is also, this incident is a reminder to us of the station and the status of Sahaba. They are not just other men, as some people want to say, they are men and we are men. No, they are not just other men. These people are superior. They have excelled, they have gone above and beyond. They have manifested, yani true iman, in the highest levels. We haven't done so. So for people to claim they are only men and we are men, this is false. On the surface, it's false. And if anybody examines deeply, it will become clear that we are not like them. That we are not like them. Yeah, they are human beings, sure. But it's more than that. Naam, Allahu musta'an. Look at this, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And how he responded immediately to the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't have to fight with himself. He said, I came to know what is right and I submit and accept and surrender completely. Question number 4. Memorize Ayah 331. Yani Surah Ali Imran, 31st Ayah, and explain how it rejects the mere claim of loving without actions which prove its sincerity. The Ayah first memorize. Tayyib, Father Abdul Haq. Huh? Somebody say something? I'm sorry. I thought somebody was saying. Go ahead. Alayhi salam.
Okay.
نعم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى is commanding the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this is what you say to them that what if Mustafa
say if you know Allah then follow me except,
then Allah will love you,
and
forgive your sins Allah Ghafur Rahim نعم يعني Allah told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this is how you address this issue Say to them, if indeed you really love Allah, that's your claim, the proof of it is in action, not mere words. As the Shaykh said, it's easy for the tongue to express these words. It's easy for the human being to say these things. But that's not sufficient. What is required are the actions that prove the sincerity of what's being said, yani, that prove that it is a reality, it's not just words, right? So Allah told him, say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. This is the proof, this is the test, of the real love of Allah that you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every claim yani requires a proof the proof of loving Allah and loving the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in action is in complying with that which Allah has sent to us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran and in the Sunnah and every one of us can look at ourselves wallahu musta'an examine ourselves and see where we are in reference to that how close we are or how Yani, far away we are. And we have to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and try to do better all the time. You know, try to do a little better all the time. Don't be content with our condition that we are Muslims, alhamdulillah, we're following the Sunnah, alhamdulillah, yani, we're on the right path, we have correct aqeedah. But the implementation of all of that, also, this is a struggle. It's not just, you know, we can just make a claim. Yani, as people claim the Muslim, but they don't practice Islam. And we claim to be the people of Sunnah, but we don't really practice the Sunnah. Yani we have some aspects of Sunnah, and we leave whatever is not convenient for us. This is not Ahlul Sunnah. This is a claim that requires a proof. May Allah help us to yani comply with that which we call to, that we act upon it ourselves. Question number 5, explain the second advice mentioned by the author, Rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Rasulullah. The second advice Yani, which is a lengthy one, and it's a very important one. Now, let's try Salahuddin. Help us.
Take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your imam.
To take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your imam.
In your worship and akhlaq.
In your worship and in your akhlaq, in your character in dealing with the people.
Put him his guidance above everything else.
And to put his guidance above everything else. Naam. Anybody want to add to that? Naam. Huh? In bil Arabiya. Naam. Tafadhal. Naam.
إماما لك في عبادتك وأخلاقك بحيث تستحضر عند فعل العبادة أنك متبع له كأنه أمامك تترسم خطاه وتنهج نهجه وكذلك في مخالقة الناس أنك متخلق
بأخلاقه
التي قال الله تعالى عنها فإنك على خلق عظيم
وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم نعم طيب okay so now there's some more words here that yeah we need a young brother one is good I think yeah okay so yani the sheikh he said yani to take the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your imam yani in your worship and in your character as the brother said and then he explained how you do that yani bihaythu tahtahdiru yani that you are conscious and aware and call to mind that when you're doing any act of worship, you call to mind that you're following him in that act of worship. You're doing whatever you're doing the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Yani call to mind that you're taking him, yani that he is the one that you're following in that act of worship, and that you are, it is as though he's in front of you and you're following in his footsteps. Yani following him exactly. Every time he goes this way or that way, go forward, backward, speed up, slow down. Yani whatever he did, we do. Whatever he didn't do, we don't do it. Some people said, but this is a good deed. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it like that. He didn't do it at that time, so we don't do it. The sunnah is what he did and what he didn't do. Follow him in his footsteps exactly, right? Wherever he's going, you're going in the same way. And likewise, in the same way, yani, in your character and dealing with the people, the way that you deal with the people, also, yani, call to mind that you are characterizing yourself, taking on the characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that indeed, certainly indeed, you are upon khuluqan azim, yani a tremendous standard of character, that is the Islam, the whole of Islam. Naam. This is also a tremendous yani advice the Shaykh has given, taking the Prophet as our leader, as our imam, as our example in our relations with Allah in worship, in our relations with the people, how we deal with the people. Yani calling to mind that he is our example in our worship, he is our example in our dealing with the people. And again, we can't emphasize enough that sometimes we get stuck on trying to follow the Prophet ﷺ's example in worship. Yani holding our hands a certain way, bowing perfectly and so on. But in our dealing with the people, we're on a different program altogether. We're not looking at the Prophet ﷺ in the way we're dealing with people. That's a fact. That's a fact. Some of us, the way we deal with people, it's like we are still back in Jahiliyyah. I don't want to use the kind of words that, not foul language, but I just don't want to use, I don't even want to refer specifically to the details of how people used to act before Islam. Some of us, we act like that in Islam, and dealing with certain people in certain cases. And we justify it by, you know, he's a so-and-so, he's a this or that or whatever. So that means that we can act like that too. Allahu musta'an. The second part of what the Shaykh said in this principle came, yani, in the next question, explain the relationship between taking the Prophet ﷺ as your imam and being eager in seeking knowledge. This is the last thing that the Shaykh said in the second advice. What is the relationship between taking the Prophet, yani, if a person takes the Prophet ﷺ as your imam, what is this, the relationship between that and being eager in seeking knowledge? Naam. Naam, fadl.
The Shaykh said, متى التزمت بهذا بما تقدم
نعم
ستكون حريصا
حريصا
حريصا غاية الحرص على العلم بشريعته وأخلاقه
وأخلاقه. Okay, somebody help us translate with that. That's very important closing to the second advice. يعني متى التزمت بهذا. What does it mean? نعم. If or when you adhere to this, yani what the above, yani taking the Prophet as your imam and your yani ibadah and in your akhlaq. If and when you adhere to this, فَسَتَكُونُ حَرِيصًا غَايَةُ الْحِرْصِ.
You will strive as much as possible
عَلَى الْعِلْمِ بِشَرِيَتِهِ وَأَخْلَاقِهِ.
To seek knowledge, the laws of it and also the characteristics.
Naam. Then you will, once you take on this principle of taking the Prophet ﷺ as your imam in your worship and in your character, this, then you will become yani diligent, eager. You will strive hard to seek knowledge of his sharia and his akhlaq. Yani the meaning here, you strive to seek knowledge of his sharia, yani in ibadah, and his akhlaq in dealing with the people. Yani how can you take the Prophet ﷺ as your example in worship unless you know you have knowledge of his sharia, what is legislated, yani in worship. How can you take him as an example and you're dealing with the people unless you have knowledge of his akhlaq, how he dealt with the people? So this will cause you to be eager and diligent and strive hard, yani to the utmost, to seek this knowledge of the sharia related to ibadah and the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ and the way that he dealt with the people. Question number 7, memorize the ayat, 33rd surah, Surah Al-Ahzab, 21st ayat, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares Rasulullah ﷺ to be the example, model and imam for the believers. Naam, ya Ibrahim. Naam. Somebody help us translate. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Somebody else. Ya Musa.
Have a perfect example, but you want that hopes to meet Allah and the day of judgment.
Naam. And that person remembers. And remembers Allah a lot. Naam.
The one who hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a good meaning.
Naam. The one who hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good meeting. Yani to have a good meeting. Yani not a meeting of punishment and destruction, right? Yani, then indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah an example, a model, an excellent example, model to be followed. Yani for anyone who has hope in Allah in the last day, who hopes a meeting with Allah, a good meeting, and hopes of the reward of Allah in the next life, and who remembers Allah much. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, said concerning this ayah, a really important point. He said that the Prophet ﷺ will be an example for the people who, yani, yarju Allah wa yawm al-akhirah. Not for everybody, but for the people who have hope of meeting Allah and hope of the accounting in the next life. Those people have that because of what is with them, with those people of Iman and fear of Allah and hope for His reward and fear of His punishment. This will encourage the person to take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the example, as the model. Now, question number 8: discuss what taking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one's imam entails. What does this entail? Taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as imam. Now. Amongst other things, what does it entail?
It entails following his footsteps.
Following his footsteps.
Traveling upon his manhaj.
Traveling upon his manhaj, the same road and path that he's upon.
Taking him as a role model.
Taking him as your role model, Naam.
And taking his speeches.
And what?
Speeches.
Oh, his speech. And giving precedence to his speech over every other speech. And his guidance over every other guidance. And his sunnah over anyone else's. Practice anyone else's sunnah. Naam. All of this, it entails all of this. Naam. Explain the third advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Allah. The third advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, Mustafa, first. It requires and it entails calling others to his sunnah. What else? Naam, Musa. To be a da'iyan li sunnatihi, calling to his sunnah. Nasir. One who supports and aids the sunnah. And one who defends the sunnah. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will what? Will help you, will support you. Yani, to the extent that you help and support. Yani his sharia. Naam. So it is incumbent upon us, yani, to pay attention that our responsibility is not just to do good things, but also to call to the sunnah, to support it and to defend it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in like will help you and support you to the extent that you help and support, yani, this deen. Last question, discuss why the one granted success, the ability to in taking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one's imam, why that person should invite to the sunnah? Why should that person invite to the sunnah? In brief, Naam. Naam.
The person should invite to the sunnah. If Allah guides you to the sunnah, you should invite people to the sunnah and tell people that this khair and. Convey it.
Yeah, I'm the khair.
And also, either you help the sunnah to convey the message of Allah, or you do not help him, help this, Allah will help this.
Yeah, Allah is going to make this deen successful, victorious, no matter whether you help or don't help.
So you're in need of the.
So you are the one in need, Naam, to help for your own benefit. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you to the extent that you help and support. Allah is not in need, but we ourselves are in need, spreading the khair, conveying the khair. After Allah has given you success to know this deen and to be upon it and to live by it, how can you not share it with others? Yani, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. Yani, you do not have complete and perfect iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Okay, these are some of the points that we covered last week. And today, inshallah, we're going to go to the third area of the manhaj, daily, yani routine, manhaj yawmi, li talib al-ilm, and for the Muslims in general. And as we said in the beginning, yani every Muslim must be a talib al-ilm, because talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Yani seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. So nobody is excluded from this. And neither the young or the old, the rich or the poor, but every one of us must be engaged as a part of our daily routine. Yani, we have to be engaged in seeking knowledge. In any case, the point that we want to talk about today is, yani, where the Shaykh, he said, "Qala." Oh, by the way, we're going to be reading. Walaikum salam. We're going to be reading in the English from the bottom of page 32 until the top of page 36. That's what we're going to try to cover today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from the bottom of page 38 until the top of page 43, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, "Thumma qala rahimahullah, thaniyan, amaluka al-yawmi ghayru al-mafroodat." عملك اليوم العنوان أمسى ثالثا نعم عملك اليوم غير المفروضات يعني the Shaykh the Imam رحمه الله he said ثالثا يعني number three يعني the third area after our منهج with Allah سبحانه وتعالى and our منهج with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم now he says عملك اليوم Yani, these are the foundations. Yani, our relationship with Allah, yani, as our Rabb, and our relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our guide and our example to how we worship our Rabb. And then now, so after we have established this, so what do we have to do? Yani, we have to do some deeds, right? And those deeds can be divided into different categories. Of course, the most important of them are those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. The Shaykh, Yani, he is stating here, yani, that our daily deeds, yani, other than the obligatory duties, meaning the obligatory duties are well known, and yani, inshallah, the people, especially the talib al-ilm, and everyone is a talib al-ilm, right? Yani, the people are already praying five times a day, and fasting in Ramadan, and doing these things. That's like the bare minimum. Shaykh is saying, beyond that, beyond the obligatory deeds, what should we be doing? And here he mentions a few matters, just a few matters. And they are from the most important of the things that could be mentioned in terms of the duties, the acts of worship that a person should be engaged in daily on a regular basis, ongoing all the time. Yani, perhaps you might look at it like, if you have accepted the reality, the fact, the necessity, your own need to perform five prayers a day in congregation in the masjid for the men, if you have accepted that reality, then have you also accepted that there are other deeds that we have to do every day? For example, adhkar al-sabah wal-masah, which the Shaykh mentions as we go along, right? And have you accepted that this is also something that you have to do every day? Is it obligatory? Fard, no. But it's a necessity. You're in need of remembering Allah in the morning and in the evening. Allah has legislated this from the things that are not obligatory, that are essential, Muslim is in need of. This is what the Shaykh is talking about. He mentions a few of those things, and there are many, many more things that he could have mentioned, but perhaps he has chosen that which he saw as being the most important, the most critical. And let's see, yani, what he starts with. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, the meaning of عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِ غَيْرُ الْمَفْرُوضَاتِ غَيْرُ الْفَرَائِدِ Yani, other than those things that are obligatory. التي افترضها الله عليك ماذا تعملوا Yani, those things other than what Allah has made obligatory upon us. What are you, yani, ماذا تعمل? What are you doing with that? Yani, where are you at? What is your position? Where do you stand in reference to the extra deeds of worship that are essential for a Muslim in their daily life? الشيخ وضع منهجا محررا جميلا جدا ينبغي حقيقة أن نتعمله وأن نعني بتطبيقه يعني the Shaykh he means the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen he has placed يعني he has put forward he has written he has يعني given to us a beautiful منهج he translates it as routine يعني a beautiful program a mode of behavior يعني a code of conduct for us to apply in our daily lives, which the Shaykh says is very beautiful. Naam, very beautiful. It is incumbent in reality that we reflect upon it. What the Imam has given to us here, that we reflect upon it, and that we give care to implementing it. Alright? Alhamdulillah. And that we give care to implementing it. And it's very beautiful. And we know that it's beautiful. But how much care do we give to practicing it? Qala rahmatullah alayhi. The first thing that he said in this area, number one, إِذَا قُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَذُكُرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَدْعُ اللَّهَ بِمَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ فِي هَذَا الْمَوْتِنِ حَرِيٌّ بِالْإِجَابَةِ وَقْرَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَتَّى تَخْتِمَ سُورَةَ آلِ إِمْرَانَ وَهِيَ عَشْرُ آيَاتٍ. And this is the first advice in this third area of the daily routine of a believer or a student of knowledge or a seeker of knowledge. Yani, those things which are not obligatory, the Shaykh says, إِذَا قُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Yani, if or when you rose up from the night, yani from sleep in the night, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فَذْكُرِ اللَّهَ, yani then remember Allah, mention Allah, praise Allah, engage your tongue in the remembrance of Allah the Most High. وَدْعُ اللَّهَ بِمَا شِئْتَ, and call upon Allah, supplicate to Allah with whatever you will, yani of khair. For indeed, supplication in this particular place, in on this occasion, is حَرِيٌّ بِالْإِجَابَة, is worthy, is expected, likely to be responded to. And read or recite the saying of Allah the Most High, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, yani to the end of the ayat, until you complete the remaining ayats of Surah Ali Imran, and there are 10 ayat. This hadith reported, yani the basis for this is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, so we want to look at a couple of things here. The Shaykh said, if or when you wake up from sleep in the night, then engage in the dhikr of Allah and supplicate to Allah with whatever you will and recite the saying of Allah, yani inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab, until the end of those ayats, which are 10, to the end of the Surah Ali Imran. In what the Shaykh has mentioned here, there are three areas that he singled out here. Somebody give me, what's the first of them without looking at the book? Just from what we heard. First thing that he said we should be doing. If you wake up in the night. Now. فَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Mention Allah. Praise Allah. Glorify Allah. Second thing. Now. Huh? Udu Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Call upon Allah. Ask for whatever you will. Now. Abdul Qawi. I got it this time. Call upon Allah. With whatever you will. Ask Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Ask him for whatever it is that you wish. Naam Ibrahim.
Read the last 10 ayats of
Ali Imran. There are a lot of things in the sunnah that we know about. When a person wakes up in the night from sleep, here the Shaykh has chosen these three things: a dhikr, a dua, and Quran. And this is the life of a Muslim. When you go to sleep, when you wake up from sleep, during the day, dhikr, dua, and Qur'an. Yani, what more important thing can a person be engaged in than the dhikr of Allah? That's the greatest thing. Huh? The dhikr of Allah. And supplicating Allah, we are need to supplicate, and the, yani, attaching our heart to the Qur'an. So this is tremendous in itself. Even though these are few words, and perhaps you read them, yani in Arabic or in English, and you just pass over it and you say, okay, mashallah, we already know that. We know a lot of stuff, but the point is implementing it. That's the problem. فَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَدْعُ اللَّهِ بِمَا شِئْتَ. For indeed, dua in this particular place is more likely, is worthy to be responded to. Okay, before I go on, I just want to read here. I want to read here a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 1154, yani on the authority of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ta'arra min al-layli," yani a person who woke up during the night, yani came to attention, they came to their consciousness. They were sleeping during the night and they woke up. "Man ta'arra min al-layli," yani some of the scholars said ta'arra min intaba, yani the person became conscious, or astayqadha, they woke up. فَقَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Whoever woke up during the night, they became conscious, and then they said, "There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone." Now imagine you wake up in the night and the first thing that comes to your mind is La ilaha illallah. That's what you wake up with on your tongue. La ilaha illallah. There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. He has no partner. To Him is the kingdom, the sovereignty, and to Him belongs all praise. And He is the one who has power over everything. Then he said, this is the narration of Bukhari, Alhamdulillah wa Subhanallah wa La ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. In some of the other books of hadith in the Sunan Ibn Majah and others, the hadith is narrated from Ubadah radiallahu anhu. In those narrations he said Subhanallah wa Alhamdulillah wa La ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. And most of the adhkar of these words usually came in this order, Subhanallah wa Alhamdulillah. But in the narration of Bukhari it came Alhamdulillah wa Subhanallah. So pay attention to this. That's how it came in Bukhari. And that's more worthy, yani, that we follow what's narrated by Bukhari. Although both of them are authentic narrations. So you can say it either way. But how it came in Bukhari? Alhamdulillah wa Subhanallah wa La ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. Yani, the praise belongs to Allah. And Allah is the one who's free from imperfections. And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And Allah is the greatest. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there's nothing, there's no power and there's no strength except with Allah. And in the Sunan of Ibn Majah has La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. And the narration is sahih. Al-ali al-azim, the most high, the most great and magnificent. Naam. Whoever woke up in the night and they said these words of glorification, praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, knowing their meanings and reflecting on their meanings, right? Because every dhikr requires that we reflect and ponder and contemplate on their meanings. And you can't contemplate on the meaning unless you have some idea what they mean, right? So we have to know the meaning of these words, and then we have to reflect upon their meanings. ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. And then after that, the person said, "Oh Allah, forgive me." أَوْ دَعَى اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ. The person said, "Oh Allah, forgive me," or they supplicated to Allah. So the first, yani, in some of the narrations of this hadith, the narrator said, or, Al-Walid said, or he said, awda'a. That means that, yani, he's not sure. Did he say Allahumma gfirli, or did he just say supplicate? Allahumma gfirli is supplication, but it's more specific, right? So a person may ask Allah specifically for forgiveness, or they may supplicate. As Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, bima shi'ta, supplicate with whatever you will. Yani, ask Allah's forgiveness or supplicate. He said, whoever does so, then he will be responded to. Istujiba lahu. فَإِن تَوَضَّعَ وَصَلَّى قُبِلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. And if he went further than that, above and beyond, this is enough. He supplicated, Allah answers his supplication. He asks Allah's forgiveness, Allah forgives. But what if he also performed ablution and then prayed, قُبِلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. Then his salat will be accepted. Now, I don't know how anyone sitting here is thinking about this, but we should be, I'll say, we should be, every one of us should be concerned every time we pray, is the prayer accepted? We should not take the attitude like the people of the later times, not so the people of the past. They didn't assume that when they did a good deed it was accepted. Rather, they used to be in fear of Allah when they did good deeds that maybe it wouldn't be accepted. But here the Prophet is saying that if you did this and you prayed, your prayer will be accepted. I mean, of course, you prayed in the according to the sunnah, sincerely, yani with ikhlas. Then whatever shortcomings you had, Allah will accept it. Because this is the promise. on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wala shakka fihi. There's no reason for us to have any doubt about this. This is a guarantee that if you get up in the night and you do this and you supplicate to Allah or you make wudu and you pray, your prayer is accepted. And who is not in need of that? So, yani, sometimes we read hadith, yani, like we read the newspaper. And we're just seeking information, what's the news, what's going on. But we don't do anything with it. I'm saying to myself first, that when we read this kind of hadith, we have to examine ourselves and try to understand, how is it that we know this and we don't do it? How is it possible that we know this and we don't do it? Yani, is there something preventing us from getting up in the night and making wudu and praying? Success is with Allah. But it starts with having a sincere intent in the heart to do what's right. That's pleasing to Allah. Allah will help us. Inshallah. Allah will help us. And I just want to add to this, and I know I'm getting sidetracked a little bit, but it's very important. I saw the narration in Sunan Ibn Majah. The words are a little bit different. He said, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And the rest of the hadith is pretty much the same. But I also found another narration in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. The next hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, look what they said. Yani, the isnad of the hadith goes to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu. And one of the scholars of Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look how it came in Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah. That hadith came, and right after it came this hadith. Anybody know what hadith came after that? And the Sunan Ibn Majah came, the hadith that we just read from Bukhari, it came in Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 1276. Hadith number 1277, on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما من عبد بات على طهور ثم تعار من الليل فسأل الله شيئا من أمر الدنيا أو من أمر الآخرة إلا أعطاه. حكما الشيخ الألباني على هذا الحديث بأنه صحيح. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من عبد, there is no عبد, يعني nobody is excluded from this. ما من عبد بات على تهور, who went to sleep in a state of purification. They made ablution before they went to sleep. And before you go to sleep, make ablution. There is no عبد who went to sleep in a state of purification. ثم تعر من الليل, and then they woke up in the night. فسأل الله شيئا, and then they asked Allah for anything, شيئا, from the affairs of this world or from the affairs of the hereafter, except that Allah has given it to him. You're in need of something? Make ablution before you go to sleep. And get up in the night and ask Allah for whatever it is that you're in need of. From the affairs of this world, you want to get married, you want a job, you want to get accepted in the Islamic university, whatever it is that it is, make ablution, go to sleep, and get up and ask Allah for whatever it is that you want, and Allah will give it to you. Of course, we know that the dua is answered in one of three ways, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, either Allah will give you what you're asking for now, or He will prevent or turn away from you some harm that was decreed to befall you, equal to what you're asking for, or He will store it up for you as yani reward in the next life. And whichever one Allah choose for us, however He responds, He will respond. That's guaranteed. Allah said, call on me, I will answer you. But He will respond in one of three ways. Whichever one way He chooses to respond is best for us. For sure, right? So how can we not be pleased with whatever it is yani that He responds with? Okay, so yani, this is just yani something of benefit that I thought yani will help us a little bit in terms of yani the troubles that we are suffering from, hardships, difficulties, trials. Yani, ask Allah. Yani, it's all with Allah. So the Shaykh, he says, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, after this first advice, if you wake up in the night, praise Allah, yani remember Allah, and supplicate to Allah for whatever you wish. Indeed, supplication at this time is more likely, more worthy to be accepted. Naam. The Prophet ﷺ said so. And he didn't just make that up. He said, when you get up in the night, praise Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Ask His forgiveness. Ask for whatever it is that you are in need of. And then recite from the Quran these ayat that cause us to ponder and reflect upon the greatness and the magnificence, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Abdul Razak says, Qiyam al-Layl inda kathir min al-Nas fi hadha al-Zaman dhahaba fi khabri kana kama yu'abbir ma sahar. Yani that standing in prayer in the night inda kathir min al-Nas with many of the people in this day and time has gone away. Yani dhahaba fi khabri kana. Yani khabri kana. What is Qabr Kana? And Kana wa akhawatuha, right? It was. It used to be. Something used to happen, not happening anymore. In this day and time, standing in the night, for most of the people, is Qabr Kana. It's something that used to be done. It's not being done anymore. People are not standing in the night. That's a fact. If you don't believe it, yani, it's a fact. I need say no more. And these are things that we really have to examine ourselves for. Wallahi, we need not be engaged in what the other person is doing, where he fell short, what he has, whatever. Remind your brother, your sister, advise one another. All that is part of Islam. But don't get lost in that. What about your own self? What about your own self? This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, getting up in the night. He used to get up in the night. In Surah Al-Muzammil, he used to pray for how long in the night? One third of the night, or half of the night, or two thirds of the night. And he is our Prophet, and we just got finished talking about what? Taking him as our example, in our ibadah, in our akhlaq. That's the reality of the affair. And don't imagine that I'm not talking to myself first. Naam, this is real. And we are in need to live this. He said, this is something of the past for the people of today. Al-hasil, al-an, and the kathir. Yani what we found today amongst many of the people, kathir, in the kathir min al-nas, many of the people, not maybe everybody, but many of the people. And nashata, hafadha, ala salatul fajr. Yani with many of the people today, their situation is such that if they are, yani, active, energetic, then they will at least guard the Fajr prayer. That's the best of the people. They are praying the Fajr at Fajr time in the masjid. That's the best of the people. Most of the people are not even doing that. All you have to do is go to the masjid at Fajr time. How many people you find in the masjid? Yani, there are a few masjids you might find a lot of people. Few masjids. Most of the masjids, you find a handful of people. Even in the Muslim lands. Naam. And I've lived in a lot of Muslim countries, even in the Muslim lands. If you look at how many people are praying Fajr, and then look at how many people are praying Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, it's like you're in a different town. Naam. Like, where are those people at? Where'd they go at Fajr time? Did they leave the country? This is the condition of the people today. Those, the best of them, they guard the Fajr prayer. أما صلاة الليل, as far as the night prayer, وقيام الليل, stand in the night, والعناية بالثلث الأخير من الليل, فكثير من الناس لا حظ لهم منه بسبب السحر. But as far as the night prayer, the standing in the night, and giving care to the last third of the night, giving care to it means what? That this is important to us. This is not something you just let go. You have to give care to this. Giving care to it, as far as that, كثير من الناس, they have no portion of this. They have no share in it whatsoever. They have nothing to do with it. Due to staying up at night. Yani being engaged in nonsense. Watching television, listening. Not watching television. I don't even know if people watch television anymore. I don't know. But you don't need television now. You have a telephone. It's worse than television. Staying up in the night, engaged in entertainment, recreation, foolishness, nonsense. Due to that, many of the people, they have no care or concern about this night prayer or the last third of the night. وَلِهَذَا النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَى عَنَ السَّهْرِ لِأَنَّ فِيهِ مُدَرَّ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ في منهجيته في عبادته في ترتيب أعماله وفيه مخالفة للسنة الله سنة الله الكونية. يعني the Shaykh is saying what? For this reason the Prophet prohibited people staying awake in the night. لأن فيه because there contains a harm to the human being in their way of يعني their منهج in their worship of Allah and in the arrangement of their affairs, of their deeds, doing things the way they need to be done. And in addition to that, it is also in contradiction to the Sunnah of Allah, the universal Sunnah of Allah. Yani mentioned in the Quran, specifically here, he mentions Surah Al-Qasas, 28th Surah, 73rd Ayah, وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, and it is from the rahmah of Allah that He has made for you the night and the day. Night and the day. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ, so that you will find rest, tranquility in it. Yani in the night. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and that you seek His favor and His bounties, meaning in the day. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh, he says, لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ means yani to find rest and tranquility in the night, and لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, to seek from His bounties, a النهار, in the day. فَاللَّيْلْ فِيهِ السُّكُونَ فِيهِ الرَّاحَ يَأْخُذُ الْجِسْمُ حَظَّهُ مِنَ النَّوْمِ وَالرَّاحَ مِنْ أَوَّلِ اللَّيْلِ ثُمَّ يَحْظَى بِهَذِهِ المكرمة أو المكر أو المكرمة مكرمة أو مكرمة أو مكرمة both of them is possible يعني the meanings are close العظيمة ويقوم في ثلث الليل الآخر في الوقت المبارك قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحديث القدسي يعني the Shaykh he says here that يعني this ayat is a proof to us that the night is made for rest and the day is made for seeking the bounties of your Lord for work. So the night is the time for rest and tranquility, and the body should take a portion from the night for sleep, for resting from the beginning of the night, and then also take yani a portion in the last third of the night of yani this yani makrama or makruma al-azima, this great noble deed or this quality or characteristic that is standing in the last third of the night in this blessed time, standing in the last third of the night in this blessed time. And I should go back a little bit, but anyway, let's read the hadith. Yani he mentions this blessed time that is yani as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yanzilu rabbuna tabaraka wa ta'ala kulla laylatin ila as-sama'i ad-dunya hina yabqa thuluthul layl al-akhir yaqulu may yad'uni fa astajiba lahu wa may yas'aluni فَأَعْطِيَهُ مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Yani hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and others. Yani that your Rabb descends, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, He descends every single night إِلَى السَّمَاعِ الدُّنْيَا, to the heaven, yani that is the lowest heaven, the heaven of this world, lowest heaven. At the time when the last third of the night remains, at the time when the last third of the night remains, yani in the last third of the night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya, and He is saying, who will supplicate to me so that I may respond to him? And then I will definitely respond to him. Who will ask of me something? Then I will give it to him. And who will seek forgiveness of me? And then I will forgive him, so that I will forgive him. Naam. The Shaykh says, الدعاء مستجاب. Yani dua is responded to, especially at this particular time. Yani seek forgiveness, you will be forgiven. Ask for something, you will be given. Supplicate, you will be responded to. Yani your dua will be answered. لكن هذه اللحظات الكريمة ذهبت عند كثير من الناس ولهذا طالب العلم ينبغي أن يجعل له حظا من الثلث الأخير من الليل. يعني in this time the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah تبارك وتعالى descends to the سماع الدنيا when the last third of the night remains. And he is saying, yani, to call, he is saying, call upon me. Yani, may yad'uni means Allah is encouraging us to call upon him so that he may answer us, ask him so that he may give us, seek his forgiveness so that he may forgive us. Every one of us is in need. He said, however, these precious, noble moments have passed by many of the people. And for this reason, the student of knowledge, the seeker of knowledge, the person who's serious about their deen, who cares about their self, it is incumbent upon them to take some portion from this last third of the night. Yani, to take something from that time, the last third of the night. Yani, if it is a few hours, at least one of those hours, half of those hours, a third of those hours, something from that time. Yani, it is incumbent upon the person who's serious about his deen to take something from this time, to utilize it and to benefit from it. Yeah, I want to go back a little bit and say here, like there's a footnote here about staying up in the night, and I failed to mention it. I just want to mention this footnote quickly. Yani, he said here that most of the people due to staying up in the night, they have missed out on the Qiyamul Layl, especially in the last third of the night. And then there's a footnote here that says, because of the staying up in the night, people missed out on this. So it is mentioned here, except if there's a need. Sometimes there's no harm in that as long as it doesn't affect the Salatul Subh. Yani, as long as the person, at least, if they didn't pray in the night, at least they got to the Fajr prayer and performed it on time. Qala al-Imam al-Shatibi, he said concerning this, rahimahullah, Imam Malik and likewise al-Imam al-Shafi. He said Imam Malik and likewise Imam Shafi, yani, disliked a person spending the whole night just awake, yani, doing other things other than the worship of Allah. Perhaps this person will wake up in the morning overcome, yani, by sleep and not being able to function. Indeed, if a person stays up all night and they're not used to, I've experienced it myself. Yani, you go to the masjid for Fajr, you might have to drag yourself to the masjid. This is not what Allah intended for us. I mean, I'm not saying that I was up in the night listening to music or something. No, for sure, definitely that. Not in the day or the night. But I'm saying, sometimes if something pressing and you might stay up, I myself find myself pressed to get some work done, I might stay up the whole night against my better judgment. And then in the morning, go to the masjid for Fajr, feeling like I'm not even really there. That is not good. As Shafi'i said, Imam Malik disliked spending the night, yani, even engage in that which is good, because it may be overcome in the morning. And the example for us, the model for us, is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, meaning that he used to stay up in the night in prayer and remembrance of Allah, but he also used to sleep in the night. There's no harm in staying up in the night sometimes, to some extent, as long as it doesn't, Imam Shatibi said, as long as it doesn't affect the subh, the fajr prayer. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, yani, as-sahar as-shara'i, yani, the staying up in the night that's legislated in the Sharia, is staying up in the night for salat, or dhikr, or qira'ah, or kitabat al-ilm, or nadhar fihi, or darsihi, or ghayr dhalik min al-ibadat. Yani, the sahar, the staying up in the night that's legislated in the Sharia, is staying up in the night for some portion of the night in prayer, or in the dhikr of Allah, or in reading the Quran, or writing knowledge, yani, of the religious knowledge, or looking at that knowledge, or studying it, or other than that, from the things that are considered acts of worship. And what is better for a person to do in this time of the night may differ from one person to another. May differ from one person to another. طيب, a few minutes remaining. The Shaykh, he says here that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Thaymin began in this advice. He began, بَدَأَ بِهِ الشَّيْخ فِي الْأُمُورِ غَيْرَ مَفْرُوضَ لِأَنَّهُ أَسَاسٌ يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ مَا بَعْدَهُ. Yani, that the Shaykh, he began in these affairs, yani, from the non-obligatory duties, he began with this, yani, the last third of the night, the standing in prayer, dhikr and dua, and standing in prayer in the last third of the night. He began with this because it is the foundation that other things are built upon, yani, the other things stand upon this foundation. Meaning that this is from the most important of the things that are not obligatory, the Qiyam al-Layl. Therefore, we should give great importance to it. Everything else is built upon it. If Allah granted you success in doing this, then yani that in that He has made you to be able to take a portion of the last third of the night to stand in prayer and the worship of Allah, then by the permission of Allah, your day will be organized, your life will be organized and arranged. And Allah will bless your time. And if you're able to get up in the night, then the rest of your day and your life will follow, yani to be organized, and that Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your time. And then after this, the Shaykh says, Thaniyan yaqulu rahimahullah. Yani thaniyan, what he mentioned, the second advice, yaqulu rahimahullah, salli ma kutiba laka fi akhir al-layl wakhtim salataka bil-witr. Yani perform whatever has been decreed for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last part of the night, and then end it, seal it with the performance of Salatul Witr. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم وطران. Make the last of your salat witr. Yani this second advice, the Shaykh has already addressed with the first advice, right? Because he already talked about praying in the last third of the night, and yani he just mentioned yani sealing it with witr. Yani that the end of the prayer should be witr. That means that when we pray in the night qiyam, then the end of that prayer, yani we should end the prayer with an odd rak'ah. Yani one rak'ah, or three rak'ah, or five rak'ah, or seven rak'ah, or nine rak'ah, odd number. And the way that the Prophet ﷺ performed the witr prayer, yani there are various ways that he did it. Sometimes he did pray it as one rak'ah, and that's permissible. Probably more likely he prayed it as three rak'ah, and sometimes he prayed five rak'ah. But when he prayed three rak'ah, it should not be performed like the Maghrib prayer. What does that mean? It should not be performed like the Maghrib prayer. No sitting in the second rak'ah. If you pray it as three rak'ah, it should not be performed like Maghrib prayer. But if you pray three rak'ah, we're talking about. If you pray three rak'ah as witr, then yani you shouldn't sit in the second rak'ah. If you pray three rak'ah straight like that. If you make two and then one rak'ah is with it, no problem. If you make five or seven or nine, then you should sit in the next to the last rak'ah and in the last rak'ah. Meaning if you pray as five rak'ah, you sit in the fourth rak'ah and the fifth rak'ah. You pray as seven rak'ah and the sixth rak'ah and seventh rak'ah like this. Okay, what we're going to close with here, and after mentioning this, the first advice of the Shaykh, of the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, is that we, yani, if we get up in the night, in the last third of the night, he give yani focus on this, concentration on this, the importance of this, that this could be the foundation of what's going to happen in our day, and likewise in the rest of our life, if we are constantly engaged in getting up in the last third of the night. And he said, yani salli ma kutiba laka. Ma kutiba laka meaning, yani it doesn't have to be a specific number. It doesn't have to be 11 rak'ah. Maybe it'll only be 5 rak'ah, maybe only 3 rak'ah. Whatever Allah has decreed for you, but get up and spend some time in the last third of the night performing qiyam. From the importance of this, which shows, yani, the importance of this, the, yani, that standing in the night is a manifestation of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever knows that Allah has blessed them with anything of good, any khair, then know that there's also wujub al-shukr, that there's no ni'mah that Allah gave you except you're obligated to show gratitude for it. And one of the greatest means of gratitude, according to the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is standing in the night. This is one of the greatest means of gratitude. One of the greatest signs of the khair of a person, that they're upon khair, and some of us, we think well of ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. But don't be overwhelmed with self-delusion, that we are more than what we are. But, yeah, na'am, have, yani, be pleased, be thankful to Allah, not proud, I said. Be pleased, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are Muslims, that we are upon the sunnah, that we are seeking knowledge, that we are trying to practice this deen. That's something good. But don't imagine that you are more than what you are. Rather know that you may have shortcomings, and one of those shortcomings might be what? That you don't get up in the night and perform qiyam. No matter how good you are, you're doing a lot of good, but you're not getting up in the night. A sign of khair in a person that has some khair is that they get up in the night. And from the greatest protections from the harm of shaitan is getting up in the night. And a person wants to be protected from shaitan in their day, and if they want to have a good day, one of the great ways to be protected from shaitan is getting up in the night. I'm just going to quickly read a couple of hadith that show us the importance of Qiyam al-Layl and these three affairs. The gratitude and the khair and the protection from shaitan. It's narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tahajjud, Bab Qiyam al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hatta tarima qadamahu. Yani in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book of Tahajjud, the night prayer, the chapter, the standing in the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night until his feet became swollen or swollen. It's narrated from Al-Mughayra. Al-Mughayra ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu yaqulu in kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yaqumu li yusalli hatta tarimu wa tarima qadamahu aw saqahu fayuqalu lahu fayaqulu afala akunu abdan shakura. This is one of the narrations that came in Bukhari from Mughayra like this, that the Prophet ﷺ used to stand in the night for the purpose of prayer until his feet were swollen or his legs were swollen. And something would be said to him, yani about this, why he's doing this, فَيُقَالُ لَهُ فَيَقُولُ. And then he would respond to what they were saying, should I not be a grateful worshipper? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Yani meaning, why are you doing all of this? Because to show gratitude. This is one of the greatest ways of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get up in the night and stand in the night. In another narration in Bukhari, it's also narrated from Ughayr of Bukhari, narrated in more than one place. Qama Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hatta tawarramat qadamahu. This narration is more detailed and explains clearly the hadith a little bit better. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in the night until his feet were swollen. Faqila lahu ghafara Allah laka. Or in some narrations, qad ghafara Allah laka. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكْ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Here, فَيُقَالُ in the other narration, it's clear what it means here. فَقِيلَ لَهُ. It was said, indeed Allah has forgiven you your sins, yani your shortcomings that you did in the past and that which is to come. Allah has already forgiven you that. Whatever you did in the past, whatever shortcoming you had. And of course, the meaning of dhamb here is not like what we are thinking, the ordinary sins of the people, stealing and lying. That's not what it's talking about. The Prophet, ﷺ, as some of the scholars said, it means like sometimes he used to remember Allah all the time, and sometimes he became occupied with his family. He wasn't engaged. That's a shortcoming for the Prophet. ﷺ. He asked Allah's forgiveness for this. Not that he was lying or stealing or anything like that. Hashallah. That's impossible for the Prophet. ﷺ. Because the Prophets are themselves ma'asum. Min al-kabair, for sure, by agreement. And according to some scholars, even sagair. فَقِيلَ لَهُ غَفْرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. It was said to him, why are you doing this? You have already been forgiven your past and future shortcomings. And he said, should I not then be a grateful, thankful worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This shows, yani, like what we are in need of, to show gratitude to Allah for all the favors that He has given to us, that we need to show gratitude. Another hadith, it's a long hadith, I'll summarize it. Also in Bukhari, Kitab al-Tahajjud, Bab Fadlu Qiyam al-Layl. Yani the excellence, the superiority, the virtue of standing in the night. Yani this is a narration that came from Salim, the son of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. And he narrates that his father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, when a person had a dream, they used to narrate it to the Prophet ﷺ. So he used to wish that I could have a dream, so I can narrate it to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I used to sleep in the masjid, and one time he had a dream, and he narrated it to his sister Hafsa, and then she narrated it to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard about this dream, well, what was his dream? He said that I was in the masjid, and I saw a dream that two angels came, and they took me to the fire. And then he saw the fire, and he saw people in the fire that he knew. And he started saying, أعوذ بالله من النار. That was the dream that he had. He narrated to Hafsa, she narrated, radiallahu anha, she narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did the Prophet say to him? This is the shahid. He said, نعم الرجل عبد الله, يعني عبد الله بن عمر. What a blessed, يعني, man he is, عبد الله. لو كان يصلي من الليل. Yani he is such a good young man, but only one thing, if only he would pray in the night. What about us then? Are we like Abdul ibn Umar? And we also don't pray in the night too? And we also don't pray in the night too? Meaning if we imagine that we are like Abdul ibn Umar, then we still have shortcoming if we're not getting up in the night. He's saying, Ni'ma rajul, Abdullah. لو كان يصلي في الليل. If he is in need of that, what about us then? لو كان يصلي من الليل. And the narration says what? فَكَانَ بَعَدْ لَا يَنَامُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. After that, he didn't used to sleep in the night except a little. And once he heard this, that was sufficient for him. He said, that's it for me, sleeping in the night. He didn't used to sleep in the night except a little. Because what? Because he knew that the completion of his khair, it was that this is what he was falling short in. If we came to know that we were falling short in something, then we have to fix it. We can't be content with our condition. These are our examples from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are a lot of hadith like this, but for the sake of time, and our time is actually up, and even though there's still a few minutes for the adhan, but anyway, time is up. Last hadith I'm going to mention, Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tahajjud, Bab, Aqdi al-Shaytani ala Qafiyat al-Ra'si idha lam يصلي بالليل. يعني the tying of knots in the back of the head or the neck if a person didn't pray the night prayer. يعني it's narrated from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said يعقد الشيطان على قافية رأس أحدكم إذا هو نام ثلاثة عقد. That shaitan ties three knots in the back of the head and at the neck of any one of you, of every one of you, أحدكم, when he is sleeping. يضرب كل عقدة. And he, يعني injects into, يعني breathes into, blows into those knots when he is tying them in the back of the head. عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. Yani he's saying to that person when he's tying that knot, each one of them, he's saying عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ. You have a long night. فَرْقُدْ. So sleep. Good. Don't worry about getting up. It's a long night. When you go to sleep at night, you should say it's a short night. I got to get up. It's a short night. Because shaitan is going to come and tie a knot in your neck. He's going to say every time, it's a long night. Sleep long. فَنِسْتَيْقَظَ فَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ إِنْ حَلَّتْ أُقْتَةٌ. So if the person wakes up and remembers Allah, mentions Allah, remember you get up in the night, first thing what? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Remember Allah. The person got up and remembered Allah, one of those knots will be untied. فَانْتَوَضَّعَ انْحَلَّتْ أُقْدَةٌ. And if he then performed ablution, after he got up and remembered Allah, he performed ablution, then another second of those knots will be untied. فَإِنْ صَلَّى انْحَلَّتْ أُقْدَةٌ. And if that person performs prayer, then the third knot will be untied. And this hadith goes with the first hadith that we started with, that when a person gets up in the night, remember Allah, supplicate to Allah, praise Allah, glorify Allah, recite the Quran. And if a person did more than that and they actually made wudu and prayed, their prayer will be accepted. Here, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person at least, yani got up and remembered Allah, one of those knots will be untied. If they made wudu, the second will be untied. And if they prayed, the third will be untied. And when they untie, what is the condition of the person? فَأَصْبَحَ نَشِيطًا طَيِّبًا النَّفْسِ. That person reached the morning, nashitan, active, energetic, tayyib al-nafs, yani in a good mood, in a good state of mind. Wa illa asbaha khabith al-nafs, kaslana. Otherwise, if the person didn't get those knots untied, then they will reach the morning, khabith al-nafs, yani in a bad mood, kaslana, lazy. Maybe sometimes we wonder why we can't get much done in the day. We don't have enough energy, a lot of laziness, tiredness. I just don't feel like functioning. Some shaitan. So we close with this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of these hadith are long. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to yani practice, to implement in our lives that which we learn, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take him as our example, our model, to follow in his footsteps, in his trace, yani trace his footsteps exactly, do what he used to do, the way he used to do it, to the best of our ability. Allah give us the strength, and yani make us able. Actually, Allah is the one who yani gives the tawfiq. Tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophets, they said, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Yani even Prophets, they have no way to be successful except by Allah. What about us then? May Allah help us in this particular matter that we're starting with in this session, that is getting up in the last third of the night. Yani let's yani take account of ourselves. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before account is taken. Yani let us look at ourselves and see where we are, and see yani to what extent we can implement yani the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in our daily lives. Yani praying the night prayer, Qiyamul Layl, is not just for the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's not just for the nights of Ramadan. It's not just yani once in a while, now and then, when we are in need, actually maybe to get up and ask for something from Allah. Rather, this is our daily routine. It's the daily routine of the seeker of knowledge, of the person who is practicing the sunnah. It was the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the success is with Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah protect me and you yani from people who don't have anything to do except try to harm other people. Yani don't harm other people. Be good to other people, especially the Muslims. Be good to the Muslims. Yani think good of Muslims. Husnul dhan. Think good of Muslims and try to be good to Muslims. If you see a brother or sister in error, advise them gently with compassion and sincerity. Don't look for people's faults. Don't search for people's faults. If you see it, if you came to know it, advise. Yani secretly, not publicly. Respectfully, not shamefully. Whatever we do of good for the sake of Allah, it will be rewarded. And whatever we do of evil, we will definitely be called to account. Backbiting, slander, looking for the faults of others, this will be written against us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.